It's the Mike O'Mara Show. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
There we are.
How we doing?
Thank you, Rob.
I lost Buzz.
Buzz seemed to have made his way out of the studio, and he hasn't come back yet.
What happens when you get him a female intern? He just disappears.
Hey, can you bring my instant replay up, too? Can that be done?
Hey, I thought I told you to stop licking my windows.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You can give us a call at 877-365-3636. We also invite you to visit WJFK.com and click on Mike.
I do it every day.
Now, what is that? My head? My name? What is what
there's a Mike O'Mara banner, and it will take you to the portion of the page that's dedicated to you.
And we'll be able to get, like, emails and stuff there?
Absolutely. Send us your message. You can also, that's where we are streaming audio. We have podcasts that will go up today. So if you miss any portion of today's program, check it out. And also, look soon for MikeO'Mara.com.
Yay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's Mike with Buzz and Rob here. Beth Ann is going to be making her way back slowly.
Can the size of your breasts tell you something critical about your health?
Beth Ann will be back on the show Monday, a week from today. And
right.
I think she's coming back into town this week to kind of get situated, and then she goes back to get all her stuff and then brings the wagon train up here.
We had to allow 5 days to get her through security.
I'm very excited about this next gentleman. You guys, are you ready to talk hockey?
I am.
Ready.
Are you ready for big-time hockey fun? Let's welcome an old friend of mine and a guy. I haven't talked to this guy in a long, long time. Locker, are you there?
Hey, Mike, I'm here.
Let's welcome Craig Laughlin.
Yeah. Hey, boys. Mike, Buzz, Joe, Rob A., all the boys are in there, huh?
It's good to hear you, Locker. I tell you, before we get started with this, I am a huge Caps fan. I've been a season ticket holder, and I really seriously want to pay you a compliment. I think for what you do, you are probably the best at it in the business. I think you're one of the best hockey color guys, and you've developed yourself into one of the best color hockey guys in the country. I think you do a fantastic job, and I love it when you talk about tucking the biscuits.
Well, I thank you for all those compliments. It's been such a long while. I feel like I'm your Jim Nancy of hockey now.
You are the Jim Nancy of hockey, and you know what? I think that a million years ago, maybe, I think you and I probably were on the ice together with the Capitals alumni, right?
Same line.
Yeah, same line.
Why do you think I got a bad back and sore knees?
Oh, God.
Carrying you around that ice sheet.
You know, and the thing about Locker is when he was starting out doing the TV color commentary, how many hairstyles did you have? How many hairstyles
did you have? I went through probably 15 or 20, and I was fortunate to have enough hair to do that type of thing, unlike a lot of people I'm talking to.
Yeah, show off.
It was great. No, I've changed a lot. Got, you know, I'm now that I'm 50.
Oh, my God. Are
you
50?
Yeah.
What?
50 now. 50. And it's just amazing, you know. I'm 50 years old, and I've sort of go through a different style. As soon as summer comes around, then I'm going to another style, more of a beachcomber look.
Well, you look like you settled in on something for most of the season this year, and I kind of dug it. I think it looked okay. You looked all right this year.
Well, in HD, that's nice. Kind of looked okay. Thanks a lot.
I think you look better than Bendinati, you know. I really do.
Oh, that's a given.
Now, how come you don't do the commercial at the Italian men's clothing store? How come that's only him? If you watch, I watch a lot of hockey on TV.
I
know, you know, people around the country, this town here in Washington, D.C., has gone NHL crazy.
Oh, they're bananas.
I have, and I wanted to ask you about this, Locker.
Yeah.
I have actually been a season ticket holder. I've been in this town, you know, over 20 years. I have watched the Capitals forever. I don't think I've ever been in a building where the Caps were playing any kind of hockey game where it was that environment. I have never, ever seen it that out of control. People with, you know, with the red T-shirts and with the red jerseys, people were going out of their minds. Have you ever seen anything quite like this? It's incredible.
No, I think, Mike, I think you got to go back to the early 80s. Maybe the first time the Caps made the playoffs back in 82, we had a whiteout, sort of similar. But
right.
I've never seen the town get behind the team. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, when I have Jason Campbell walk into the booth to say hello,
right.
Yeah. I know something's going on, because I remember when I played and John Riggins used to come and Joe Theismann used to come, and then all of a sudden there was the drought and winning really brings out the best of people and the fans. And this team is something special. The young guys, the way they move, the way they skate, and just the way they've captured the audience here in Washington has been great. And it's been great for me because going through years where you're struggling,
sure.
It's actually harder to broadcast those games. Now you just talk about the game and, wow, isn't it great? And isn't that guy playing wonderful? And it's just so exciting. And so it's sort of a different time for me also, but it's very exciting for everybody.
Did you think back in the, you know, towards midseason when the Capitals made the coaching change and they brought Bruce Boudreau in, the new coach, did you have a sense that this guy coming in as a minor league hockey coach would actually be able to turn the team around? Because it's an amazing transformation this team has gone through.
Well, I think when you look at his background, and I had known Bruce for a long time. We've sort of grew up in Toronto. He's a little bit older than I am, 3 years older, but we sort of ran in the same circles in Toronto growing up. And so I knew him all along. He's been a longtime coach, and I knew he had a winning background. I didn't think he'd have such a dramatic effect, but the first day that he walked into the locker room was a surprise to me, just the things he said. He's more black and white than any coach I've seen in a long while. He just tells it like it is, and he says, we got to stop thinking about losing. We got to think about winning. You got to put pressure on yourself to win. And if you're a checker, I need goals too. And if you're a goal scorer, I need you to check. And he totally changed the environment in Washington and the environment of the team. And kudos to him. He should be coach of the year for what he's done here in Washington.
You know, I want to talk to you about, and this is for people around the country that may never have been to an NHL game, especially an NHL playoff game. The environment in the playoffs in the NHL, for people that might not know about this sport, it is it's an incredible transformation that takes place between the regular season and the playoffs. For those of you that have never been to a game, you go to an NHL playoff game, at the end of the run, if a team locker goes to the finals, you look at the faces on these guys, and they look like, seriously, they've been through some sort of war. I think it's the most intense competition you get in a team sport.
I don't think there's anything more intense. I think that, you know, with winning, trying to win 16 games, you're playing four series of best of seven, it takes its toll on you. It's mentally draining. It's physically draining. And I think once people see it, you know, people in during the season, sometimes, you know, it's a Tuesday night, they don't get down to the game. But even at the end of the season, we were starting to pack the house. But playoff hockey is totally different, you know. I know Buzz likes it, you know.
I know Buzz. Just try to keep me away.
Buzz.
Hey, hold on, Locker.
Rob legs, the short hot pants in red. Can't beat it.
Rob might actually have a hockey question for you, Locker.
No, he said he might have one.
No, I have a question.
Okay.
What is your question, Rob?
Okay.
I read in the current Sports Illustrated magazine.
He did his show prep.
They had it at Jiffy Lube, so I read it this weekend. But they said that this Caps-Flyers series is set to be the hardest fought and the grisliest series in the pursuit of the Cup. Why is that, and what are the factors that lead up to that?
Well, I think.
Oh, Rob, let me give you a round of applause.
Rob, hey, that's impressive.
Outstanding private pile.
I'm going home. Goodbye.
Good job.
No, I think it's a bunch of factors. You know, remember what the Caps used to be in the Patrick Division, and when we changed division, that was one of our key rivalries. When I played here, it was always the Caps, the Flyers, and they were always known as the Broad Street Bullies. I don't buy it that they're the Broad Street Bullies now, but our proximity to Philadelphia.
I don't either. I think they're a bunch of pussies.
Oh, exactly.
Absolutely.
Of them. We want to kick their butt. We got the toughest guy anyways in Brashear, so if they want to start anything, Cote will step on the ice, and he's going to beat the crap out of him anyway. So,
yeah,
no,
I like that.
Coming down to it's always been a great rivalry. And
how many years did you play in the NHL?
I played 9.
9 years in the
wow.
NHL?
9, and then I lost all that playing one game with you. I lost all my skill.
Would you like to give a little evaluation of when I did play? And this is a few years back.
My
playing ability?
There was only one guy that had better than hair than you back then, which was Blair Stewart, which you knew anyways.
Good Stewie. Hair.
Because you were always had the good hair
it's
going.
Secret to hockey, isn't
I
it?
I think, you know, if I had to describe you as I was calling a game, well, this guy's got sort of, you know, slow feet.
Slow feet.
He's hard to get completely around.
Hard to cover.
He goes to the net hard.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he has his stick placed in the right position, and he's always cherry picking.
You know, there's a guy.
High praise indeed.
You know this guy, Locker, Gary Risling, played for the Pittsburgh Penguins, played in the NHL. This guy's a lunatic. He played for the Washington Capitals alumni.
Yeah.
And when my father was very, very ill, and, you know, right towards the end of his life, and Gary Risling took a video camera and at one of our alumni games.
Oh, no.
And listen, when they say Capitals alumni, these guys allowed me to play for the Washington Capitals
alumni.
And they
take it serious.
Yes, they did. It was comic relief that they had me out there. Gary Risling takes a video camera at one of our games. I think we were playing like the FBI or something like this. And Gary Risling takes the camera and does play-by-play for me when I would take the puck around behind the net. And he starts out, and I will never forget this, because I think...
With his teeth or without his teeth?
I think it was without his teeth, because we were playing. So he didn't have his teeth, and he goes, and now grabbing the puck is Mike O'Mara.
Gathering speed.
Gathering speed. Oh, my God, it was incredible. It was incredible. Talk about, there's a lot of speculation about the Washington Capitals here in D.C. that even though they just eked their way into the playoffs at the last second, that these guys are for real. And they're rated, very highly in a lot of postseason polls to go all the way. What do you think about that?
I think, guys, they can surprise teams. Anytime you're on a high going into the season, timing's everything. And they were going into the playoffs on a very big high. I think last game is sort of a setback, but it was expected. I didn't expect them to win 12 of 13, 13 of 14. That loss on Sunday against Philly was expected. And every time they've lost, they've responded. So
when you say that was expected, because I went to both games.
Yeah.
I was at the Friday game and the Sunday game. The Friday game, just probably one of the best playoff games I've ever seen. They come from behind. Alex Ovechkin with the big goal at the end of the game. And then Sunday, just the polar opposite. Mm-hmm. And it never fails to amaze me how that can happen in the NHL. Is that the letdown from the Washington Capitals, or is that the Philadelphia Flyers saying, we have to, our backs to the wall, we have to go in and kick ass?
Mike, I think it's a combination. I think when you look at the way that game played out, I mean, it was even in the first on Friday, the Flyers dominated the second and the Caps dominated the third, so it was a pretty evenly placed game. So at the end of the day, that team's coming in here, and you're always thinking in the NHL, let's get a split, guys, let's get a split. Don't worry about losing the first game. And that's what the Flyers had on their mind. On the Caps side, I think they're a worn down team. I mean, anytime you play the way they did down the stretch, mentally and physically, it's just fatiguing. It fatigues both of those things. And I just think, they were ready for one of those. They did not have the jump. They weren't in sync. But I think Tuesday, tomorrow, I think they're going to kick butt up in Philadelphia. I just think they're a team that responds,
and I
think they will respond.
I should mention that we have the games here on our local flagship station, WJFK. Mm-hmm. We've got the postseason, the playoffs for the Capitals right here on WJFK, and they'll be coming on after our broadcast tomorrow.
As sort of a hockey outsider, how much does home ice as an advantage play?
Well, you look at the NHL and the history of the NHL, home ice teams win probably 70% of the time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's pretty big, especially now in Washington. Remember, back when we went against Detroit, it didn't have the same type of feel in the building that it had.
It was all pretty new. It was all pretty new back then.
Yeah, it was new. But now, look at the way the fans, I got the chance to walk the concourse. People dressed in red like I've never seen before. Hmm. Flashing lights outside. People that I don't even know. Yesterday, I was out just going up to the mall here in Annapolis and just cruising around. Hey, Craig, how are the Caps going to do? Hey, Craig, how?
Have you gotten that this much? I mean, has it
never.
Ever been that not that intense?
Never.
Right.
I know you do all the time, but I'm like the second guy in line.
That's why I have a professional shopper, Craig. I actually have people that go out and shop for me.
I think what he meant is you're the guy that's running up and saying, "Hey, Craig, how are the Caps going to do?"
Well, I'm actually one of the few people in America that do a formidable impression of Craig Lockley.
By the way, a very good impression. And now that you gave me all this nice stuff, I'm sure you're going to do one before
we
leave.
Well, no, I want to hear, what is, I don't even remember. You have so many of those pseudo-Canadian sayings that you have about describing. I know the biscuit. You talk about the biscuit, but then you got give us what's
biscuit
one of your
in the basket. You got kabonged. you got railed. I don't know.
All right, now you played 9 seasons in the NHL. Now this is just general hockey talk because we don't get a chance to talk hockey very often. In your 9 seasons, in your opinion, worst injury you ever saw or you ever experienced?
Worst injury would probably be when Clint Malarchuk cut his neck and cut his artery.
And how similar was that? Oh. That happened to a guy in Tampa Bay, didn't it?
Yeah,
recently,
very
too?
Similar to the guy and Richard Zednik, who played here in Washington. Very similar, except I thought Malarchuk's was a little more gruesome.
He cut it on a skate, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Yikes.
In your day playing, or actually current day playing?
Broken kneecaps. I mean, when you see a puck hit the knee flash and you can just hear it on the bench
ouch.
Snap. When Bobby Gould punched Lemieux right in the face. You could hear it all the way in the stands. You could hear it on our bench. I thought that knocked him right out.
Who was the dirtiest player when you were playing? Who was the guy that everybody
God.
Hated?
You name Philadelphia guys. I mean, you just go to Cochran.
Tockett.
Schultz, Tockett. Tockett cut me. It was so funny. They cut me like for 18 stitches on my nose, so I went in just to get them quickly stitched up. Well, they didn't have face stitches, and that's why, you know, I'm maybe not as pretty as I used to be because...
Do they have a different kind of... Do we lose them?
No.
Okay, do they have different kind of stitching now if they stitch up your face?
Oh, yeah, they got smaller stitches, so you're not going to be left with a scar, but they sewed me up. They sewed me up with, like, a piece of string.
Oh,
it was embarrassing. And they didn't put any cold stuff, as I call it, Novocaine, Novocaine, whatever you guys call it here in the United States. They didn't put the cold stuff
on. We call
it
Novocaine.
Okay, well, they didn't put it on.
Cold
they
stuff.
Didn't put any of that on, so they just stitched me up, and boom, out I went again.
How many stitches in your career do you figure?
Probably 75, 100.
And that's not that big a deal, right?
And
compared
I lost
to other guys?
Of my ear, too, with a slap shot in Toronto.
Jesus.
I didn't know you were missing. See, you look so pretty on TV.
Well, that's the make. You know, it's just a little scar. My right ear is all cracked up there, but it's healed pretty well.
Wouldn't be hockey without scars.
I'm shocked that people from Philadelphia would play dirty.
All right, let's talk just very briefly, because we appreciate your time, and I know you have to go, but I want to ask you.
No,
about,
I don't. You're kicking me off.
I am not going to.
No.
No.
Question?
Will you take some phone calls from our listeners?
Oh, yeah.
All right, if you want to talk to Locker, you can give us a call at 877-365-3636. We will, if you're amenable to that, we will be glad to keep you on the show. My question, of course, is about the superstar, the great one, Alex Ovechkin, probably one of the greatest players I've ever seen play. The thing that I hear when people are talking about Alex Ovechkin is he is fantastic, but he throws his body around the ice not like a superstar should. And if he keeps playing hockey the way he plays hockey, that career is not going to last a very long time. What do you say to that?
I don't buy into that because I think he plays that way and will always play that way. I don't think he's a kid that's ever going to slow down. You know, he's a Russian machine, just the way he's built, the way he goes at the game, the way he was born and raised in Russia with his two parents being athletes. I just think there's no stopping
out. I've seen his mother. I've seen his mother in the stands.
Oh, yeah. She's there.
That's a formidable-looking woman there, Locker.
Her dad's in town. They flew in the other day with Alexander Semin's mom. So, I mean, they're all here to cheer on the Caps and cheer on his son. But I tell you, this guy is something special here in Washington. I don't think we're ever going to see here in Washington a player of this type of caliber.
Locker, you got time for a few phone calls?
Because yeah,
I tell you, people are going nuts right now. They do want to talk
Mike.
Hockey, okay?
Let me punch him because I'm not sure you can from over there.
Okay, all right, you just tell me. Go
you want
ahead,
Ernie?
Yeah, let's talk to Ernie. Ernie, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show with Craig Lachlan, the broadcaster for the Washington Capitals. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Craig, I just wanted to talk a little about Alexander Ovechkin. I thought Bobby Hull was the best left winger I've ever seen, but I think Ovechkin is just pure magic with the puck.
Ernie, I got it. I mean, it's a great anomaly to say that he's like Bobby Hull, though. If you remember, he was sort of a one-band band. He was the first one, by the way, for the fans out there that don't know a lot about hockey, he was the first one that really used a curved stick when he played for the Chicago Blackhawks in the mid-60s. And he was a tremendous guy, a tremendous player, but his big thing was his shot off the wing. And when he started to use the curved stick, it totally changed the game of hockey. And when you had goalies without masks, they were scared to death of Bobby Hull. And is he shoot like Bobby Hull? Alex does, but I think he's a totally different all-around player than Bobby was.
Okay, let's go to Katrina. Katrina is calling for Craig Lachlan. Katrina, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show with Craig Lachlan.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Lachlan. How's it going?
Hey, Katrina. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was at both games this weekend. I'm a little hoarse because I screamed my brains out. It was fabulous. I want to know, though, what your opinion is of the hockey of the goalie situation this year in Washington. I've been a huge Ole Kolzik fan since we drafted him, and I'm just worried sick that we're going to lose him this year. What do you think's going on there?
Katrina, I just think it was a situation where McPhee thought things weren't getting done. He wasn't playing well. Kolzik certainly has tenure here in Washington, but when it comes down to it, it's all about performance. And Ole let in some soft goals during some of his starts. UA fell in their lap, and it was a pickup that I thought they had to make. I think Brent is a very capable backup, can be a number one guy through injuries. But I just think that UA is younger, He has a better save percentage, and that's why they're going to keep playing. The gotcha with the Ole Kolzig situation is, are they going to re-sign him, and would he want to share the role of number one with somebody if they can sign Cristobal Oua? I'm hoping he stays another year in Washington, but I think it's going to be a wait-and-see through the summer with him.
Tough situation for him, and you know, he's been a stand-up guy about it. Very difficult. Locker, got a chance to take two more calls here for you.
You got it.
Let's get him on real quickly. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show with Craig Lachlan. Go ahead.
Thank you, guys. First, Mike, looking forward to the new show. Congrats and all that. Locker, here's what we get when you guys get bumped off the air for an NBC exclusive. What do you think about both Milbury and Emmerich calling the team on air nationwide the Crapitals? And,
did they do that? I was at the game, so I didn't hear. Did they really do that?
I was at the game as well.
And they called Ovechkin a dog.
What? Now, what is the deal with that, Locker? What's going on with that?
I think, you know, you're dealing with two different stories. You know, we're the local carriers.
Right.
We have to be probably 60-40 as much as we can because we are a local carrier. We want to do well and be successful. We are a sports station at Comcast, and we have to tell stories, obviously. And when the team plays bad, you have to admit they play bad. On the national side, I thought yesterday, and he makes a great point, calling the Crapitals, calling Alex Ovechkin a dog. Alex Ovechkin, even if he plays poorly, is not a dog. They use the wrong words to describe one of the best superstars in the NHL. I was disappointed. I was there. I was in the stands, but I also listened to it on air.
That's kind of Bush League, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Milbury and Pierre Maguire, what they try to do nationally, they think they're going to capture audiences by being controversial.
Right.
And I don't believe that. You've got to sell your best players, and Ovechkin's the best player.
I agree. We've got one more call for you, and then we'll wrap it up with Craig Lachlan. John, you're on with Locker. Go ahead. Hello.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Great.
Good.
Actually, the guy kind of stole my thunder. I was going to complain about the NBC broadcasting as well, but I wanted to ask Mike and Craig, you guys were at the game. NBC, at one point, they said it was about 50% Flyers fans. Now, is that
that's
didn't
crap.
Look like that to me.
That's the biggest bunch of BS. As a matter of fact, Locker, you'll back me up on this. That's the difference also. In previous, even in the playoffs, in a lot of previous rounds where the Capitals have gotten to the postseason, and certainly during the regular season, you used to see especially Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, even Buffalo sometimes come down and buy a lot of tickets in our arena in Washington, D.C. Not the case this time around. Don't you agree?
No, I agree. And it was amazing. He brings up another point. All these people that were watching the game, they said, you know, but Eddie up in the stands, Eddie Olchuk, who's their lead analyst, said, no way, it's 90-10. At the most, 90
right.
Capitals, 10 Flyers. But the guys downstairs and even the one Pierre Maguire at ice level saying it's 50-50.
All right.
I call balderdash to all that. That's a big word, boys.
Now, see, really, how good is that when you get balderdash? All right, well, Locker, as far as your picks for if it's not going to be the Capitals, who do you like? I mean, who's strong? Who's looking good?
Mike, you still got to go to Detroit. You still got to go to San Jose if they get past Calgary. That was a big loss last night, being up by 3 and losing. And in the Eastern Conference, I still believe the Caps and the Montreal Canadiens can surprise everybody and go to the Eastern Conference Final.
Oh, man, I'd love to see that because this town's going crazy. Locker, I hope we get a chance to chat with you again, and I hope we have an opportunity to because the Caps are going to go to the finals.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to a free dinner at your restaurant. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, get it while you can, Locker.
Joe, Rob, hey, everybody. Hey, Mike, good luck with your new show. It's awesome anyway. You guys, by the way, every day I go to a game, I listen to you guys.
God bless you.
I'm on my show every day, and I always walked into the rink with a smile, and part of my good, you said good broadcasting was part of your show because I laughed my butt off every day, and I hope this continues, Mike, with your show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Locker. Thanks for coming on.
All right, talk to you guys.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Greg.
That's Craig Lachlan from Comcast Sportsnet.
What a jerk.
Yeah. You can't take him. Oh, he's a good guy. And I'll tell you, right here in D.C., it's fun to watch.
It is.
When a team where there were 8,000, 5,000 people going to a game, to see them selling out now, and you can't even hear yourself think. I love it. I love to see a turnaround. That's the biggest sports story in Washington.
That's
right
cool.
Now.
Pretty exciting. This town needs that.
Absolutely. Thanks to Craig Lachlan. We'll come back with the buzz and a discussion of Rob and the purchase of a vest right after this.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.